Psalm 122, we'll read all of the psalm. Hear God's word. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your church, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege of being a part of that great and glorious body. We thank you, Lord, that you have not only privileged us to be a part of that body, but you have placed us in positions, special positions, to work and to labor and to serve your church and to serve your body and to serve you and Jesus Christ as laborers in that body. And we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that we might, as under shepherds, laborers in the church, have a love for the church and have a love for the body born of your Spirit, that we might lead your people in a love for you and a love for the church, and lead your flock even into the portals of heaven itself to worship and give you the praise that you are due. And as we look at a piece of this psalm this morning, Father, grant that we might have the spirit of illumination to bless us, opening our minds to the light of your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text this morning is the very first verse of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." When the invitation came in the mail, I was glad. It was an invitation from one of my classmates from the military academy, and he, I think, remains an officer, a vice president in one of the nonprofit organizations that is very familiar to all of us. And he was inviting all of us who were known to be Christians in our particular class together for a retreat. And we were to meet at the headquarters of this particular organization as Christians. And I'd never been to a retreat like that before with our classmates, and I was glad to get the announcement. And then when I scanned the activities that were to take place during the weekend, I zeroed in immediately on Sabbath morning to check out what was going to take place, and my countenance fell because a golf tournament was scheduled for Sunday morning. And I was no longer glad. I was sad. Why was the leader of a Christian organization calling together friends of his known to be Christians in a weekend retreat and scheduling a golf tournament on Sabbath morning? Why wasn't he glad to have his classmates come together and glad to have them come together on Sabbath morning for worship? That was the question. And I think the answer to that question is, at least in part, that this man, though he has in his heart, and I do believe that he has in his heart, a love for Jesus Christ, he does not have in his heart a proper understanding for the church of Jesus Christ. And because he does not have a proper understanding in his heart for the church of Jesus Christ, he does not have a proper love and appreciation for the church of Jesus Christ in his heart. And the psalmist in the text this morning leads us in quite a different direction, doesn't he? I was glad, the psalmist says. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." This gladness that the psalmist has is a reflection, I think, of the love that he has for the church, a love that he has for the house of God. And it's the very love that we should have. It's the very gladness that we should have. It's the gladness that you should have. And so I direct you to this gladness that the psalmist points out in the very beginning of Psalm 122. And I would submit to you that if you have a gladness in your heart, it begins with the fact that you have a gladness in your heart because it's born of the salvation which God has been pleased to give you. That's where it must begin. And David understood this. If you keep your finger there in Psalm 122 and turn back to Psalm 16, David uses the same concept in Psalm 16 in verses 9 and 10. He says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." Why the gladness of heart? It begins with that understanding of the grace of God that carries us through this life into the life to come by way of resurrection. This is a text that speaks of the resurrection, isn't it? And it's used of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And that's the hope of the Christian, the resurrection from the dead. And it thrills my heart every time we have an opportunity. It's not been very often in Sterling because God has been gracious to us. But just a week ago in Sterling, we had a funeral. And as I stood by the graveside of this dear elect lady, I was constrained to say, "We're here to place her body in the grave because we affirm the resurrection of the dead. And one day this body will be raised incorruptible." That's where the gladness comes from. I was glad, David says in Psalm 122, going back to that particular text. And you'll notice that that gladness is connected immediately to the house of God. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Of course, in the Old Testament, we all realize this, the house of God was the temple and the temple confines, the holy place and the most holy place where God was pleased to dwell, his house. And David refers to that house, the special dwelling place of God, where he was pleased to come and be with his people. Keep your finger there again in Psalm 122 and look at one other text with me if you would. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. I go back to this text frequently because of its reference to the temple and Paul's special use of the idea of the temple with reference to the church as he speaks to the people at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And then Paul asks this telling question, or makes this telling statement, for we are the temple of God. Not singular, plural, but we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Think of this, my friends. For we are the temple of the living God, and the promise of the living God is, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For we are the temple of the living God. Back to Psalm 122. Grasp then the significance of what David is saying. I was glad, David says, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And certainly that gladness ought to fill our hearts when the invitation is given by others in the congregation, Pastor, come, let us go together to the house of God, to the assembly of God's people, to gather together to worship Him. You'll notice that the psalm is the psalm of David, a song of ascents of David. And David had a special reason for going up to the house of God, for going up to Jerusalem. It was an extraordinary providence that brought David to the place of understanding that the temple site was to be in a particular place in Jerusalem. You may remember the story that David had ordered a census of the people. And that wasn't a good thing to do. And God rebuked him for that. And a plague was brought upon David and upon the people of Israel. And David fell on his face before God to seek the face of God. And the prophet Gad came to David and said, go and build an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite and sacrifice there. And so David did that. And the plague was stopped. And you can imagine the thoughts of David. But the tabernacle is in Gibeon. And the altar of God is in that place. And it dawned upon David that this place, the threshing floor of Ornan, where God had ordered him to build an altar, could indeed be the place where God was now designating that he would permanently dwell among his people. A promise made through Moses 500 years earlier. And we read in the third chapter of 2 Chronicles that Solomon builds the temple in that exact spot. And you can imagine the thrill of David, knowing that the promise of God awaiting for 500 years is now fulfilled. I was glad, David says, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, the place where God's promises are fulfilled. What a love and gladness was welling up in the heart of David. And so it is, my friends, I think that as we look at Psalm 122, verse 1, and we look at the church of Jesus Christ as the place where God's promises are fulfilled, and God says, I will dwell there among you, that our hearts ought to well up in gladness also as we think of the invitation. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And there is not only gladness because there is that idea and that reality of resurrection hope within us. And there is not only gladness because the testimony of God is being fulfilled in the very confines of the church and the assembly of the church. And there is not only gladness because God Himself has promised to dwell within His church and among His people. But there is gladness because we love, do we not, to go up to meet with God. To me, that's one of the great, very great things that we have to do. I'm astonished that we so often take for granted the idea that we would utter before the congregation, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And we say that, do we not, when we speak to the people assembled on Sabbath morning, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And that's exactly what the people were thinking when they went up to Jerusalem. Psalm 122 is a song of ascents. And it is one of those psalms sung by the people as they would go to the feasts and travel up to Jerusalem to meet with God. And they would realize that although God was essentially present throughout the land, that there was a gracious presence of God in that temple, and they would go up to meet with Him and to feast with Him. And that's the very idea that we ought to have, dear friends, as we gather together on a Sabbath morning. It's just not a perfunctory thing. But the people of God assembled are the temple of God. And God is graciously present among His people. And the people of God come together to feast on the grace of God. This morning, before the devotions, we constituted the court. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And in Matthew 18, if we understand that passage correctly, we understand that that's a judicial setting. Here, dear friends, as we call ourselves together for worship, It's not so much the judicial setting. Thank you, Lord. It's the worship setting where we are graciously called together and partake of the grace of God and feed on the mercy of God. I liken it this way. The psalmist says, or he speaks of heaven as the dwelling place of God. But there's no wrath there. The psalmist says if he descends into Sheol, God is present there. But it is not a gracious presence in hell. It is a wrathful presence in hell. And we come together as the assembly of God's people into the gracious presence of God to feast upon Him and His mercy and love. And what is this? It's a foretaste of heaven, my friends. It's a foretaste of heaven. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." It's a foretaste of heaven that we have the privilege of experiencing. And we are drawn away from the world and brought into the assembly of God's people to lift our voices in praise to God on the edges of heaven itself. We are brought into the temple of God, and we are brought into the inner sanctuary where the veil is parted. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter into the very holy place of God. And we know that that earthly tabernacle is but a picture of the heavenly. And so when we are called to worship, we are called out of the world, and we are called into the heavenly presence of our God with myriads of angels and all the saints of glory. And I often think, as we are gathered for worship, that I'd like to just get up on my tiptoes and look over the periphery of the crowd to the very center of the universe and to the God of glory, around whom all of creation is gathered. That's our privilege. That's what God has called us to. And is it any wonder, then, that the psalmist says, that David says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" The privilege you have and the privilege that I have every Lord's Day is to draw the people of God away from the world and away from the drudgery and pain of all that takes place 6 days a week, and to bring them, by the grace of God, to the very footstool of the Creator, to bask in the sunshine of His grace, and to rest. That's what the Sabbath rest is, isn't it?
Yes.
To rest. And to find peace and solace and comfort before God. I was glad, the psalmist says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. It's our privilege, brothers in Christ, to lead the people of God week by week out of the world and into the edges of heaven and to the throne room of God. That's our privilege. May God give us the grace to do that. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are the God of all glory. And thank you, Father, that we are privileged to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your very inner courts with praise. It's our great privilege. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. Make us cognizant of the privilege we have. Forgive us, Father, of our sins and of the warfare that so often consumes us. And grant that we may, as elders and pastors, lead your people out of the world week by week into your presence to find that rest that only comes from being there with you. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to come into your house, your presence, to worship you. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.